You're listening to Little Green Cheese, Season 2, Episode 4. Well, welcome to another episode of Little Green Cheese. I have a special guest today, and it's Darren. Darren, introduce yourself, mate.
Hi, my name's Darren Aldridge, and I'm living in Box Hill in Melbourne.
Now, I contacted Darren about, 2 weeks ago, and it was after Darren said he'd been watching some of my YouTube videos and been making cheese for quite a while. So what first got you into cheese making at home, Darren?
Well, I've always had a bit of a fascination to cheeses and how to make them, but I actually lost my job and had a bit of time on my hands, and woke up one morning, I was watching some YouTube videos on how to make feta cheese, and I thought to myself, well, I could do that and have it go. So I ordered some rennet and calcium, and a couple of weeks after that, I started making my own cheese. Bought a bit of milk from the shop.
Yep.
And that's where I started.
So how did that first batch of feta turn out?
Pretty good. Not too bad. Yeah, it's quite nice. Had it in the brine. So I made probably about 24 litres of milk.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I ended up with a few little containers. And I hand that out to the two children that I've got. And they loved it. And, I've always been brought up on feta cheese, always liked it, so that was one of the reasons why I chose to do feta first. And it's an easy cheese to make.
Yeah, no, it is really simple, isn't it? You don't have to stir it for very long, and, you know, there's limited pressing, so it's a nice, yeah, easy cheese. So after your feta cheese, what was the next cheese? What was the next one you made, and how did you find the recipes for the cheese?
I YouTubed them, or I Googled them and find the recipes on the internet.
So what was your main resource? So where did you find the most recipes?
Mainly YouTube, I would.
Yeah.
I'd get a few recipes from your videos and other people's. The next cheese I made after that, I did a cheddar cheese.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Found was a lot more work. That'd take me nearly all day to make the cheese up. And by the time I pressed it, the day would be over.
So how many litres of milk did you use in each?
About 4 litres to 30 litres of milk. So I've got a 60-litre pot that I use.
Oh, okay. Now, how do you keep the milk warm? How do you warm it up?
I do it on the stove, but now I have a bigger pot that I immerse it on a gas burner, and I have water in there. So it's double boiled.
Yep, so the temperature doesn't get away from you, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't burn the milk anymore.
Hmm. So were you heating it directly when you first started?
Yeah, so I had to be very, very careful.
Yeah. So where was your where did you get your ingredients from when you first started?
I was just shop-bought milk.
Oh, okay, yep.
And all the, like, rennet and cultures and calcium, I just get them offline.
Yeah.
And whoever I could find at the time, and just have it mailed to me.
Okay. So, yeah, I started off using normal shop-bought milk as well. And I suppose when you want it in bulk, it's fairly cheap. But sometimes, as you probably found out, the quality is a little bit ordinary, isn't it?
Yeah. I've come across a nice milk that's a full cream, and it's only pasteurised, and that's a farm owner's milk. That's quite a nice milk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I use a milk called Jonesy's milk, and I can get that locally, and that's just pasteurised as well, so it hasn't been homogenised. And do you find that you changing milk helped you with the curd, to set the curd better?
Yeah. Yes, and you get a stronger cheese too.
Yeah. Because that homogenisation process really kills the a lot of the, well, the pasteurisation kills the bacteria and the homogenisation just kills the structure of the milk. So
yeah, there's no goodness in it at all.
No. So how did that cheddar type cheese go? How long did you age it for, and what did it turn out like?
Only ever get to age it for 3 months before it could get eaten. It wasn't very long at all.
Was that because there was beady little eyes on it?
Yeah, well, I had children and me. I've just ordered a beer fridge, a 650-litre one.
Yeah.
They bring next week. So that'll help out a lot. It'll just be using a normal fridge to store the cheese. It's not very hard. I've only had it running down very low at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit hard to chew with the cheese. So I tend not to leave it in there for too long, but I mainly wax whatever cheese I can.
Yeah.
That stops them from going out.
Yeah, and that's pretty good because otherwise they would dry out, because if you're only making... Well, you're making 24-litre to 30-litre batches, which is pretty big. It's a pretty big cheese, right?
Yeah.
But the smaller ones...
I just made a Swiss cheese up with 50 litres of milk, and I ended up with a fairly big block of cheese. I weighed it, I think it was about 4 kilos.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's massive.
A kilo and a half block as well.
So,
and they're drying out. They're drying at the moment at 20 Celsius.
So they're forming their eyes now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So have you noticed that they started to bulge?
Just starting to now. So I'd say another 2 weeks under the staircase.
Oh. So out of the way and dust-free and all that sort of stuff, yeah?
Covered up in a gauze.
Oh, yeah, cool. No, that should be a really – that size Swiss cheese will have really good eye formation, because when I make the smaller batches, like I use between about 14 litres when I make a Swiss cheese, and the eyes don't form very big. So the bigger the wheel of cheese you've got, the better the eyes are going to be.
I gather that.
Yeah, so that'll be good. So, in fact, the way Darren – This is for the listeners. The way that I found out about Darren and all the cheeses that he'd made was that he actually bought some propionic Shimani culture from our website, and we had a bit of a back and forth. And his partner Simone mentioned that he had watched all of my cheese making videos. So that's how I originally found out about Darren and his home cheese making traits. So that's that. Was that the culture you used in the Swiss cheese? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And then I think it's about two weeks. We join you in a class of mozzarella making.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Have you made mozzarella before?
I've made it about 4 times, and I've only really had one success at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mustn't be able to get the acidity right.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a go, and I'll show you how to be. We'll make successful mozzarella, no problems at all.
I can't wait.
is Simone coming too?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic! Well, that'll be great fun. So, besides the Swiss and the cheddar and the feta, what other cheeses have you made?
I've made feta, cheddar.
Yep.
Camembert, which was it was working really good there for a while, getting a nice mould formed on it, and then I buggered it up. It got a hot day, and I missed out, and the mould died off.
Oh, okay, yep.
I buggered that up. It was going really good. I made cottage, halloumi, gouda, Monterey Jack, some mozzarella, Havarti cheese, which I have very make a lot of Havarti for the house here.
Does that turn out well?
Very good. I brought about 3 months ago, Simone has friends in Benalla who have a dairy.
Oh, okay, yep.
Back home, 90 litres of milk.
Goodness me.
And I made some Havarti out of that, and it was the best Havarti I've ever had.
Oh, I bet it would have been. Would have been fantastic, especially when you got a really quality product as well, you know.
And Simone's children couldn't get enough of it.
I bet.
There's 4 of them, and they just ate it. All of them ate it all.
So I've got a question, Darren, around How do you, what do you use as a mold? Seeing you using these really large quantities of milk, what do you use as a mold and what do you use as a press?
I've built my own press. I have out of timber. It's about 2 foot high and has a big steel rod thread, and I just winch it up and down. I have some plastic baskets for pressing that I've bought from places.
They make them that big, do they?
Well, for the Havarti, I just use cloth. I do it the same way as you do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I sit in between two boards and a couple of a 15-litre barrel of water.
Oh, right, yeah.
Press, and I just do it flat.
Yep.
It's easy to slice and then give it a cook. Comes up really nice.
So you just use, for the moulds, you're just using some sort of plastic, bought plastic moulds?
I have the square feta moulds.
Yeah.
Or the rectangle ones. And then for when I do gooners and stuff like that, I've got the deep round ones.
Yeah.
They're about 6 round and they're about 8 inches, 10 inches high.
Oh, okay. I think I know the ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fit a lot of curds in them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a few of them. I've got a couple of little heart ones. I make special heart cheeses for Simone.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I bet she'd love that.
She does.
So what's your favourite cheese to make?
Well, one of them I've just made, well, it's at its 3 month stage, and it was the Havarti cheese.
Yeah.
The halloumi I was talking and I flattened that down.
Oh, right, yeah.
We just went away to Torquay for a couple of days and we took some Havarti with us. And we found it's a lot tastier and nicer than the Gouda. So at the moment, the Havarti is one of my favourites.
Oh, excellent.
I've got a big block there that's sitting. I won't touch that for 12 months.
Oh, okay. Have you got it waxed or vacuum packed or something like that?
Yeah, waxed.
Yeah, okay.
And in next week, it's going in the new fridge.
Oh, okay. How are you controlling the temperature of that new fridge?
Well, I ended up getting one of those reptile thermostats.
Oh, that's right. I gave you a recommendation. Oh, I gave you the link, didn't I?
So I use one of them.
Yep.
And I'll just use the sponge and the water.
That'll work fine, mate. Because, after I gave you that recommendation, I looked at them and I thought, I'm sure that, you know, there's so many people asking for those sorts of external thermostats. So I went and bought a whole bunch wholesale from China and managed to put some on the side as well. So that'll help other cheesemakers, I reckon.
Yeah, they're really handy. They work really well. I bought a fridge not long ago for $50. We drove to Caulfield, picked it up, brought it back here, and it worked properly for about 3 days.
Yeah.
After that, I couldn't get the heat. It'd get either freeze up or it'd get too hot. And then one day it nearly caught on fire.
Oh, goodness.
So that's at the tip now.
Yeah. It probably lost its refrigerant in the in transport, maybe.
Yeah, well, then the controller started having black smoke come out of it.
Oh, okay.
So something happened to it. I don't know whether the owner knew there was something wrong with it or what, but I sent him a message and he's never, ever got back to me.
Yeah, it sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the thing, he told me he used to be a cheese taster.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, and he started telling me all these cheese people and things.
Sounds like I don't think it's as much fun as actually making it yourself, though, if you're a cheese taster.
Nah, better fun making it.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about making it.
Oh, mate, that makes two of us. I love making cheese.
I dream it.
Funny you should say that, Darren. I used to, when I first started in the first year, I would have cheese dreams, and Kim could tell when I was having these dreams, because one of the first things I get up in the morning and for breakfast, I go and have a toasted cheese sandwich.
I wake up the other morning telling Simone, it's a bit funny, but I told her I had a dream that I invented a new chair. And it was made out of curd.
That's good.
I don't know where that's going to lead.
No. So, that sounds, well, you know, you're going to have to put a patent on that if you make a curd chair.
I might have to.
So just a short break in the middle of this podcast, just to remind everybody that this podcast is proudly supported by listeners who've pledged via Patreon. Yes, I've got a Patreon page, and if you want to support this podcast and the other podcasts that I do and help it keep growing, then head over to www.patreon.com/greeningofgavin. There are some rewards from $5 and upwards, and I would be grateful if you pop over there and support the podcast. That website again is www.patreon.com/greeningofgavin. Thanks very much. You've talked a little bit about the cheeses you've made and the favourite ones. Now, what are some of the challenges that you have at the moment?
The mozzarella, I have a lot of trouble with that. That's a bit of a challenge. And I'd like to try and, once I get this new fridge, I want to go and have a go at some more Camembert bear cheese.
Yeah.
To see if I can do that. Because that's really fascinating just watching the mold grow.
It is, isn't it?
Mm. And just achieving that, because there's a bit of mucking around to it.
There is. You really do have to be patient and...
And control everything properly.
Exactly. It's got to be spot on. Everything's got to be sanitised correctly as well, because if you can't get that mould to grow in the first instance, then, there's nothing you can do about it really, except maybe spray a bit more mould on, mix some water up and some mould and spray it on. But the temperature control's essential for Camembert and keeping the humidity up. So were you using a ripening box last time?
Yeah. And I had a room in the house that the temperature would stay constant all the time, but we had this one hot heat wave and I missed it, and it just made it too hot and killed the mold.
Yeah, it does, because it started
sweating.
Yeah, it doesn't like going above about 12 degrees, maybe a little bit more than that. You could probably get up to 13, 14, but I think most of the recipes that I've seen, and the one that I've got in my book anyway, I think it says 7 degrees Celsius, so that's premium for growing the mould.
Yeah, that's what I found too. But hopefully later on this year I'd like to dig a bit of a cellar underneath the house.
Oh, that'd be good if you could do that.
I'm a plumber, so I'm pretty good at digging, so I'll start tunnelling underneath and doing a few alterations.
Oh, that'd be nice. You have your own real cheese cave.
Yes, I've always wanted one.
Yeah. Well, ever since you started making cheese, I suppose.
Yes. Well, eventually I'd like to start, I mean, do it. I'd like to be able to make cheese commercially if I could.
Yeah, that'd be good. I actually interviewed a lady, Deborah Allard, and that's actually how she started off. Well, she started off making cheese at home, and then she got into a partnership with another friend, and they actually started making cheese commercially. And then I can't remember what the reason was, but she gave it up. They were making enough money. I think the partnership changed or something happened. And now she teaches cheese making courses up in northern New South Wales. So she has a great time there.
Well, we hope to have a little farm in a few years. So I'd like to set up just as a hobby at first.
Yeah.
Go to markets and things. Just take it from there. I'm not interested in making lots of money out of it, because that's not what it's all about. I just like to share something that I enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. So would you get cows and goats, or just a few of each?
One stage I wanted to get goats, but with the work it's a bit hard, so we tend to try and find a place that's near dairies itself, buy the milk.
Right, so bring the milk in and then make the cheese yourself, yeah?
Depending on how much lamb we get, we'd like to get maybe 3 or 4 cows if we could.
Yeah. They're a lot of work. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I take it from me, they are a lot of work. But if you've got the time, then and you've got the your regular as clockwork milking them, they can be milked once a day. And then when they go dry, it's no big deal until they come into calf again. So,
but I mean, we'd like to have vegetable gardens and other things, and plus, we make our own soap too, and I make my own oils.
Oh, okay, great.
We distilled two shopping baskets of lavender, and I got 150 mils of lavender oil.
Oh, so a lavender essential oil, yeah?
Yeah, yes. It's very strong.
I bet it is. I bet it is. You'd only have to put a couple of drops in the batch of soap to get the fragrance, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we're yet to try some of it yet.
Hmm. Mate, that's fantastic. You distilled your own oil. That's amazing.
Well, I used to make my own whiskey too.
Oh, so you know the process then?
Yeah, I've done a lot. Actually, I'm doing a run tomorrow morning, but I don't drink anymore. This is for the young boys.
Oh, right. Have you got any advice for new cheesemakers, mate?
Yeah, if you're interested in making cheese, do a bit of research. I mean, it's not very hard. Don't give up if you have any failures. Just look into it and work out where you went wrong, because it's usually something simple. Don't be, once you do work out how to make cheese, don't be scared to experiment a little bit too. Because you come up with different types of flavours. The internet is a fantastic source of information to look up and discover, find out what type of cheeses there are and how to make them.
Well, that's great advice, Darren, because, yeah, there are so many resources out there. You know, I've had to buy a few books in my time and find some of the recipes, but these days, you know, even if you stumble across littlegreencheese.com, I've put on purpose heaps of recipes that I've got them from books, but then I've modified them in such a way that they actually are usable. So I find so many of the cheese books these days, the people, they mustn't either proofread them or test them or I don't know what, but every time I make them, they usually, something goes wrong or whatever, and then, as you said, you discover what went wrong, and then you fix it and you fix your recipe up, and then it goes fine.
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of books too. I mean, they're really handy too. I mean, the girl Carol from New England Cheese, she's very good. She's a good person to look at her recipes.
Oh, Ricky Carroll. Yeah. Yeah, no, her cheese book was one of the first ones I bought. And it really helped, probably more so the first part of the book where he talks about the process and all that sort of stuff. That was what I was fascinated in to start with, because I went on a cheese making course where the ladies were really good at what they did, but they didn't really explain too much about the whole process. I wanted to learn that, and I wanted to understand it. So yeah, Ricky Carroll's book's quite good. In explaining that sort of stuff for newbies as well.
That's the type of thing that you have to learn yourself, mainly that I've discovered.
Yeah.
Is through the trial and error and just keep persisting making. And you discover to yourself that, you know, this is how it's done. It's always a learning process. I've made feta cheese and Havarti cheese and cheddar a fair bit. And it's always a different learning process as I go along.
Yeah, that's right. So most of the times, do you find that when you make the same cheese over and over, do you get a different flavour, or is it nearly the same?
It's basically the same, but it depending on the milk. If you use a good full cream milk, it's always comes up the same. Or the raw milk's the best I've found. And if you use the raw milk, it's so much superior.
Yeah.
And it does, it comes up the same, but you get that rich, buttery, creamy texture to it.
Mm.
And it really holds well together.
Yeah, it's good. It's good milk if you can get it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I just on Monday I made my first block of tofu.
Oh, okay, out of soy milk.
Yeah, well, I had to make my own soy milk too.
Oh, okay, yep. So you soak the beans, then crush them, and then put the water.
Vitamise them, yeah, and then cook it and add some nigari to it to solidify it. So out of 500 grams of soya beans, we ended up with 1 kilo of tofu.
Gee, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Does it taste all right?
Beautiful. Best. I'm not a tofu fan, but we marinated it in some ABC sauce.
Yeah.
And had a cold tonight with our tea as a side dish, and it went just like that. Everybody ate it.
Would have been fantastic. That's well done.
So I mean, that's sea cheese.
It's good. It's a good vegetarian option too.
Oh, Simone is a vegetarian.
Oh, there you go. So, but she still eats your cheese, yeah? And that, I suppose, yeah, vegetarians eat cheese. What am I talking about? I'm thinking of vegans, yeah. Yeah.
We do our own yogurts as well.
So do you use you use cultures, or do you use a what do they call them? Easy-Yo type thing, or?
I'll just go and buy a culture yogurt from the shopping centre.
Yeah.
Milk to 94 Celsius, then I cool it down to 30 and add the cultured yogurt to it, and that's to start it off.
Yeah.
And the next batch, for about half a dozen batches, I'll use that yogurt that I'd made as a new culture.
Oh, okay, and then you'll have to, buy another one because the culture starts to dilute a bit, or?
Yeah, well, it sort of dies off a bit after six goes or something, so that's what they say, so I've never bothered trying to go over it.
Yeah.
And I just start afresh again.
So
I did 12 liters of it last week, and I made up, and we ended up with about 5 liters of yogurt, and it went in about 4 days.
That's incredible. Well, it tasted fantastic too.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So how do you
the curry paneer that we make?
Yeah. How do you keep it warm for the I think it's about 12 or something hours while it's turning from milk into yogurt.
I just keep it in the oven wrapped in a towel.
Oh, okay. Yep. So the oven's not on or anything, yeah?
No, I warm the oven first.
Yeah.
To about 30 or 40 Celsius. Then I turn it off and I just throw it in there. And it's usually the coldest once or twice through winter time. It doesn't work because it's too cold at night.
Right, yep.
I've never really had any fails.
Well, it sounds like you're a seasoned cheesemaker and yogurt maker, Darren, as well as soap and all that other stuff you make as well. So,
I've only been since 2013.
Well, mate, I tell you what, you've come a long way in those few years, that's for sure.
I really enjoy it.
Well done, mate, well done.
Don't make cheese or any sort of curd. Once a week, I have withdrawal symptoms.
No, that's true, that's true. Well, the heat's been a bit ordinary. My kitchen doesn't, because I don't put air conditioning on very much, so our kitchen doesn't get very cool. So when it's over 30 degrees, I can't make cheese because I just can't keep it cool enough.
Yeah. Well, hopefully later on this year I'll start building a special cheese room that I'd like to enclose. I'll have a line inside with the aluminium foam walls.
Oh, yep, yep.
So I hope to do that.
Well, and keep it and have an air conditioner or something in there, or would that suck at it?
It's constant temperature.
Yeah. So just a small room?
Yeah. Oh, and I'd like to do a little cool room off it as well.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. Pardon the pun.
Because I plan on next time bringing home 180 litres of milk from the dairy.
How are you going to carry that home?
Poly boxes in milk bottles on the ice.
Oh, yep, yep.
And, and if the ice melts, you just take the water out and throw some more ice in it the next day.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it'd be so hard to store it and transport it and the like.
Well, then for the next couple of days, I'm making cheese like crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Nah, it sounds great. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, mate. I've run out of questions.
Yep. I probably won't shut up. I'll keep going.
I'm sure we can catch up another time once you've got a few more cheeses under your belt.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a date. How about a mandate? How's that sound?
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for talking to me today, Darren. And I think a lot of people have learnt a lot that you can just, you know, once you want to do something, you just start doing it.
Oh, you just have a go.
Yeah, that's right.
No such thing as can't.
Yes, there's no word in the dictionary. No, can't. Nah. All right, mate. Well, thanks very much for chatting to me.
Thank you. It's been great.
All right. Thanks, Darren. See you later.
Bye.
Well, that's all we got time for this week. Thank you very much for Darren for coming on the show. Really enjoyed the interview. That was good fun. Now, for upcoming workshops, you can find those over at littlegreencheese.com. While you're there, check out my ebook, Keep Calm and Make Cheese, The Beginner's Guide to Cheese Making at Home, and that's available in all ebook formats. You can also find our cheese making equipment and supplies over at littlegreenworkshops.com.au for those of you who are in Australia. We have a comprehensive range of kits, supplies, and equipment. Thanks for listening, Curd Nerds, and stay tuned for the next episode of Little Green Cheese Podcast. During this workshop, you heard royalty-free music by Kevin MacLeod. I played Malt Shop Bop and Call to the Dairy Cows.